Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now, a story from the front lines of the job market, right where it intersects with the mommy wars. Katie Reed is now a freelance journalist from Minneapolis, but years ago, both she and her husband were full-time journalists. She decided to give up her job at a big city newspaper to spend more time with their two boys. It seemed ideal, playground in the morning, some freelance covering city council meetings at night. But last year, Katie and her husband divorced, and she began to question what she'd given up. Years of promotions, raises, retirement benefits. Katie wrote about all of this for Salon, and some readers were outraged. How could she talk about money when she got to spend time with her kids? Others understood. Katie Reed joins us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. And go back to the beginning. It was after you had your second son that you started wondering whether you should stay home. And then your Aunt Millicent stepped in with some auntly advice.
Right. I had this new baby and we were talking and she said, you know, are you going to go back to work? And I said, yeah, you know, when my maternity leave is over. She said, oh, you know, that's too bad. Those years go by so fast and, you know, you really hate to have to miss them. You know, that got me thinking, and other people at the same time were talking about those kinds of things. And meanwhile, I was reading the books, the parenting articles and books, and the parenting gurus were telling me that, you know, my sons absolutely had to have someone there with them every single day, paying more or less constant attention to them, who, and not just some stranger in a daycare center, but someone who truly loved them. You know, no one else was going to step up.
You were feeling that pressure of, if I don't do this, what's going to happen? They're going to be,
what's,
you know,
going to happen? Yeah, the parenting gurus made it sound really dire without being ever very specific that if you don't do, you know, X, Y, and Z, you're not being a good mother. Then my husband got a new job. We moved across the country, and I sort of took that opportunity to think, okay, well, now I will freelance. And, you know, he'll have his full-time job, which he did, and I freelanced. And so for all of these years in between, I've actually been working as a fairly successful, if not terribly busy, freelance writer. And my career and skills and talent have actually grown.
So you're freelancing, but back when you were trying to make this decision, you got not only advice on child rearing, but on finances. So what did you hear?
Most women who are looking at the possibility of quitting their jobs or grappling with this decision, the things that they look at, the articles and advice books, talk about, here's what to consider if you're going to drop, if your family's going to drop down to one paycheck. Remember that you'll be saving all this money on commuting, you'll be saving on a work wardrobe, you'll be saving on daycare, but, you know, you might not be able to take as many vacations or buy a new car every year. So they talk about all the little budget cuts that you'll have to make as a family when you reduce your income by one paycheck. But that's sort of the hardship that's borne by both parents. What they don't tend to talk about are the longer-term hardships and sacrifices made by just the parent who stays home, which include, you know, they lose their raises, their promotion opportunities, their retirement benefits, and then they have this difficulty reentering afterwards, at, you know, when they're ready to go back to work again. And all those things are really still underreported.
As you write, who had time for long-term financial planning during the daily demands of two small boys, and now you're looking at a future with not a lot of financial plans and no job or no full-time job.
And facing an employment market that's not terribly friendly to even mothers. I mean, even employed mothers, research has shown, are at a disadvantage. You know, one study showed that mothers or having children reduces women's earnings by 4 to 15%, even among women of comparable backgrounds and jobs. Another study showed that mothers tend to be regarded as less competent and less committed to their jobs. So that's even mothers who are fully employed. When you've been out of the workplace for a while, and that just raises the suspicions. I mean, there's this sort of bias against women or men. No, actually, with men, it's a little more unclear because fathers tend to be rated higher. There was a recent study out showing that fathers make more than men who don't have children.
Well, and now your kids are older, getting ready to go off to college, and plus you had this shock to the system, a divorce. You start sending out resumes. What'd you find?
Well, I pretty much sent them out into oblivion. I've long ago lost count of how many resumes I've sent out. I mean, I'm certainly not unique in that. I mean, it's in the middle of a recession and we've had, you know, this economic crisis. So lots of people are in that situation. My point is that, you know, I'm facing what everybody else is, but on top of being a former part-time at-home mother and not having had a full gapless resume, I'm at a disadvantage in that kind of market. Ann Crittenden's The Price of Motherhood came out 10 years ago, and she wrote me a note after my Salon article came out saying that she has the new paperback edition coming out, in which she says in the preface that virtually nothing has changed in those 10 years. She reported that a mother tends to give up $1 million in lifetime earnings. That was her calculation. And she said, you know, all the reforms that she recommended are still basically being ignored and probably are even would be even harder to enact today in today's harsh political climate.
You mentioned reforms. What would you want to see changed from outside your own decision making?
Well, first of all, I'm just glad to help start a conversation on this topic. Yeah. The article in Salon got 240 letters before the Salon editors shut off the comments line. And about half of the people say, well, how could she, you know, have been so foolish as to not look ahead and see that she would encounter these financial problems, which is a good point. And then the other side of it were people saying, how could she even be thinking about putting money ahead of her children? Let's just hope that her children don't come across this article someday and read it and find out how much she hates them. And, you know, clearly in the article, I don't say anything like that. Having the conversation at all is, I think, a really good start. I think another thing would be to, you know, provide good part-time jobs for people that actually pay good wages and benefits, which allows for some more flexibility for working parents.
Well, so you talk about some reforms, including what, you know, would be a very provocative idea, the idea of somehow stay-at-home mothers and caregivers given some sort of tax break or subsidy or something, acknowledgement of what they do.
For instance, they don't earn Social Security credits for staying home. They provide all this work, but if there are two people are married, the working spouse gets the credit, the stay-at-home spouse does not. If you are married for 10 years, you're eligible to use your ex-spouse's Social Security history, which in my case, fortunately, I am. But if you're married for less than 10 years, that doesn't happen. And so if you were married for 9 years and you spent those 9 years at home with the kids, you're out of luck when Social Security time comes along.
Again, as you said, something a lot of women don't know, and part of what you want is just for people to be aware when they make that decision whether or not to stay home. But what do you think now about your decision, Katie Reed? You write, unlike Aunt Millicent, who seemed to say to you, you know, stay home as long as you can, you would warn another young woman not to do that.
I think I would. I mean, I don't. I think it's you're putting yourself in a terrible position if you make yourself dependent financially on another human being who may not be around forever. At the same time, I really did love the time I spent at home. I'm glad to have had. Here's what I think of it as. I like to think of it as sort of this, you know, really exorbitant luxury vacation that I took and really could not afford it. But it left me with, you know, wonderful memories of a great experience, and I value it for that. I'm sure on my deathbed, you know, assuming it's not in the poorhouse somewhere, I'll be glad in many ways that I did it. But I just am sorry that we have the system that we have that doesn't allow for that decision to be made in a casual way, and yet we're making it in a casual way without really much or enough public discussion of the problem.
Katie Reed, part-time journalist, full-time single mom, looking for a job. You can read an extended version of her Salon essay at hereandnow.org. Katie, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.